Hello friends, this is Professor Venkat Iyer again, and here I am covering chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 is titled as Training, Evaluation and Measurement. So we go through a training process, we have learned so many parts of the training processes, and finally we come to training evaluation. How do we evaluate training? How do we measure it? Right? So let's see what is in store for us. The objectives of this chapter is to know the meaning and significance of training evaluation. Understand the training evaluation models. Understand the various methods of training evaluation. Okay? So taking it further, evaluating a training program is a complex process. Underline the word complex. It's not easy. It involves a number of things which are interrelated. Evaluating a training program is a complex process in which the organization determines whether the training has been effective in terms of the expected results. Let me explain. You attend a training program, there's a change in your behavior, and then the change of behavior results in an increased output which the company wants from you. Ultimately, let's remember one thing. When a corporate is sending you for a training program, they are not doing a social service to you. The basic idea is that they want you to improve yourself in terms of behavior and skills and competencies with the express focus that your change will result in a better output which is measurable. Right? Now, you undergo a training program, you go back to the office, you're on the job, follow-up sessions are also over and you're working and things start coming up. Very well, you have actually giving the output that is expected after training program 6 months down the line. Now, let me be very objective. People may say it is because of the training the changes took place. I want to be objective, although I'm a trainer, I don't want to talk about it as the only glorifying thing that happens to a person. A training program acts as a major trigger. You may be having the potential to do many things, but in a training program, the trainer is supposed to give you certain conditions where your triggers are fired within you. That trigger will bring out the best in you and you may become a better performer. Now, the point to be noted is that why is it complex? It is complex because there are a number of contributory factors that make a training program successful. Not the trainer alone. Not the training module syllabus, not the trainees, not the management. Now all of them have to come together in congruence, walk and talk the same language and deliver. Now obviously evaluating all of them, we need different parameters to evaluate them. So it is very complex, and after you evaluate each of them separately, then you have to integrate them. That is not easy. Ultimately, what we do, a simple method followed by every organization, is evaluate the effects of the training on the trainee. So he goes back, then they say, is this training successful? Say 20 people are coming for the training program. They evaluate all the 20 and they see if the critical mass, more number of people are finding it beneficial in terms of change of behavior and better output, then they will conclude that the training program was successful. This is a very linear way of looking at a training program, to be very frank. I'll feel happy if you tell me that my training program has been successful. But as a faculty, objectively, when I'm talking for this subject, which we are discussing right here, we need to understand the trainer alone is not the only contributory factor. There are times I have seen when I have undergone a training, when I was in the corporate world, we are sitting in the training room, the trainer is not so skilled. The trainer is not able to give answers to the many questions we are asking. But the audience is very smart to pick up things, loose threads and tie it up. Now the training program succeeds. You can't say that the trainer was good. The participants were good in this case. This is a thing very few people understand, they know. The facilitating training manager in the company, the facilitating training manager in the company may be so good in coordination, in appointing the right trainer, in seeing that the ambience is properly created, he may be the main driver in making the training go well and bring out the best in the trainer as well as in the trainees. So he contributes to the success of the training as well. So his evaluation is also equally important. What I am ultimately trying to say is, let us not look at training as a linear process in which the trainer does a good job, evaluate the trainer and finish it off. It's not so. That's where the complexity comes. So look at it from different angles. The trainer may be very, 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 very good. But if the trainees are not absorbing it, if the atmosphere is not proper, if the coordination is not okay, if the training gap itself is not properly understood, then there are a number of people who have to be considered to be accountable. Right? Second bullet point is, there are various dimensions of the training effectiveness, the rapidity with which the learning took place. How soon? The conversion from B1 to B2, existing behavior B1 to desired behavior B2. The action with the new behavior and the new expected results. Right? All this happens over a time frame and needs careful calibration without losing focus. Hand-holding. You have to observe after the training is over. Training evaluation should not be confused with training feedback. There are two words, evaluation and feedback. Feedback is given to the training, to the trainer, at the end of the training session, which happens in a classroom or any scenario. The immediate information that comes back about the training, about various other things, is a feedback immediately after the training. A trainer with a lot of excited energy, he creates a beautiful ambience and he will make the whole group motivated for 3 or 4 days. The feedback will be fantastic. Great trainer. On all parameters, he'll be getting 10 out of 10. That's the feedback. Feedback is the immediate effect of the training. But the long lasting effect is what is evaluation. I want to know, today I'm excited, I go for a film. I love the film. When I come out of the theater, people say, how is it? Oh, great movie. But after I go back home, I start thinking, was it really good? Then I evaluate. So evaluation needs time. Feedback is given instantly. So don't confuse these two. Third one is, the effectiveness of the training is observed and felt much later. That's when the feedback, the evaluation is to start. So don't evaluate the training 2 or 3 days after the training is over. Don't evaluate it after 1 month. Take some time. The evaluation focus should be the behavioral change followed by the continued performance, which is higher than before. That's a calibrating point, right? In today's environment of increased accountability, the training evaluation process is a critical component of an organization's training program. All organizations, practically every organization today, is investing in training. They are not spending, they're investing. They know that training is very important for them to be continuously in the competitive market and being successful. Organizations administering the program not only are accountable for what employees learn, organizations are accountable to what I learn, but they are also accountable for ensuring that the employees transfer the knowledge to other work, to their work performance. So the organization has to play a role in ensuring that whatever they have learnt, they are also giving conditions so that they are able to put it into practice at the workplace, the new learning. While traditional training evaluation methods focus on using the assessment process to improve training delivery, it should also determine whether training is improving business performance. We'll come to this in a later chapter. Today, training is focusing on business performance. It's not an isolated event done by HR department for a number of people to whom they have found some training gaps. It's something which has to impact the whole business performance. Okay? So we are shifting the paradigm from just a training which is doing some good to one person or group of people to the paradigm where it is going to do good for the whole organization. One department goes through a training over a period of, say, 6 months or 1 year, everybody gets trained. That department is supposed to improve the business performance of the whole organization. And to that effect, we must earmark, if this department needs a training, will it create an impact on the business performance of the whole organization? So choose that type of a department or a division or a group of people. Okay? And organizations are doing it today. That's how the training has got a very broader connotation. Right? Training evaluation refers to activities aimed at finding out the effectiveness of a training program after it is conducted vis-a-vis the objectives for which they were organized. No need to repeat, this is clear. Training evaluation techniques provide solutions to questions like what was the capability level of the learners before and after the training? What was intended to be achieved by a particular training program and what has really been achieved? What's the monetary value of training outcome against the cost incurred for conducting it? And many more questions. The evaluation has to ask a simple question. Is it worth it? Was it worth it? For all the resources we spent, the time we spent, and the people whom we sent, did we get the desired result? What we are expecting? So you have to keep on putting a lot of trigger questions and get your answers. Training evaluation brings rationality, logical, objective, rationality, objectivity, accountability, and credibility to HRD through tangible and verifiable outcomes. It means what? Training, as you know, is all about behavior, skills, etc., which is intangible, which are human attributes, which can't be measured. Those human attributes, when they change because of training, irreversibly, then they bring about certain results. So I have to look at it from a logical point of view. Have the results come with this change behavior? Objectively. It's not about X, Y, Z or somebody whom is my favorite. Has this person really brought about a result? Objectivity. Is he accountable? Is there a credibility in the whole training? These are the things to be understood. Training evaluation is often a neglected job, but performed well can enhance the credibility of training for the results it produces. In some organizations, for example, training is over, results have come. They don't sit back to evaluate how the training was on certain parameters. One of the other reasons why you need to evaluate is to get a feedback. When such a situation again arises, is it good to go for the same trainer, the same set of parameters, etc.? It's a historical, it also puts your information in historical archives. An evaluation will tell you what were the ways we evaluated at certain point of time during the year, how are we evaluating it today. It gives you a certain path to change your evaluating methods itself, depending upon the progress of the company in terms of years to come, right? Now here is a slide, you can read it, okay? There are some points given here, the nature and purpose of training evaluation, can go through it, right? At the center, and all that is all the 5 points in the radial, right? I'll explain this in the subsequent slides. The 5 main purposes of training evaluation are feedback. It helps to give feedback to the candidates by defining the objectives and linking it to learning outcomes. Self-explanatory, I don't need to explain this, elaborate it further. Second is research. It helps to ascertaining the relationship between acquired knowledge, transfer of knowledge at the workplace, and training. So this is one gray area. You've gone through training and there is a result coming up. Another person also has gone to the same training, but results are not coming. So it's an area of research. Why is it that X is giving results and why is it that the other one is not giving a result? So there are, in a research, what are we trying to do? We are trying to see what are the better ways of doing things? Can I have some methodology by which a certain phenomenon is going through? That's what research does. And there's a huge area in this particular field of training evaluation. The more you do, it's less. It's an endless research you need to keep on doing because we are dealing with behaviors which are very complex at the workplace. That too, group behavior. The third purpose of training evaluation is control. It helps in controlling the training program and redirecting it to produce expected results. A training program is going in a certain direction. So the evaluation tells you, okay, this is what it should not go. So it should go in a different direction. So the training manager of the company has to control it and redirect the training program in a different direction. One module is over, the second module is about to happen. So he puts the control parameters, he gives a feedback to the trainer and the trainees that, look, this is the way we need to take it further. Right? The fourth is the power games. Very, very tricky. Very tricky. And so far, I'm sorry to say, top management uses evaluative data to manipulate it for its own benefits. When I say the word manipulation, don't take it wrongly. It's not negative. At the end of the day, the top management wants to use its resources, human resources to get things done. So they employ certain methods, very good positive methods, to make people do what they want them to do. And these methods may not be direct methods, they may be indirect methods. So when you evaluate the data, you get some primary information, secondary and tertiary information about the training outcome. Now, it's an erroneous word, power games. You know, the moment you write power games, you know, we may think negative. It's not so. Basically, what the management does is they take the inputs of a training program, primary, secondary, tertiary inputs, and they try to map which type of human resources are useful where. Where can we relocate them? Where can we put them in career development? So even the word manipulate will give a wrong connotation. Basically, they would like to manage the resources and see that for future purposes, where can I put whom? And they do it. Many companies do this. You may go for a training program for a purpose A, which is easily identified at that point of time by the HR for the company. But as the days progress, the top management realizes it's not only for that. We may need this person's change in behavior for some other purpose also. So they may put you there. That's what this number 4 is trying to explain. Right? Fifth one is intervention. It helps in determining whether the actual outcomes are aligned with the expected outcomes and corrections to be done. What is intervention? Intervention means there is a gap and I need to fill the gap. I need to fill it by some means or the other, training, coaching, teaching, etc. So intervention is basically I am intervening to ensure that the gap is filled up. That's the role of the trainer and other associated agencies like the supervisor of the trainee in the company, the top management and all the other stakeholders who are there, right? Evaluation methods should be determined based on the goals of the training process and should meet the demands of the various stakeholders. Every organization has multiple stakeholders and not everyone within the organization has the same information needs. Let me explain this to you. Who are these multiple stakeholders? I am working in the production department of an engineering company. I'm a production engineer or an HOD. I'm being sent for a training program. And this training program I've undergone and I've done well. I'm getting a departmental feedback that I've done well. There's a change of behavior and I'm doing well in the desired leadership status which I'm supposed to take up. Now, is it about only me? No. Production department is connected with materials. Production department is connected with warehouse. Production department is connected with logistics. Now, these are the multiple stakeholders within the company. So any change in my behavior for my purpose is impacting them also. Hence, when they evaluate me, it should not be done only with respect to the desired thing alone, but we must look at the what will happen to the multiple stakeholders when my behavior changes. How will the what will be the impact of the logistics manager? What will be the impact with the production people, with the materials people? Now, those are the multiple stakeholders whose impact should also be considered. It's like, if I can give a personal example, it's like you are changing yourself into a new profession. You're in a certain profession, say banking, for nearly 10 years. Now, that profession will generate a certain type of a behavior in you. Yes or no? I'm sure you agree. So you have a behavior in society of a banker. Now, in society, who are the people? Your family members, your friends, your other people whom you meet daily. So they know you with that behavior. Now you decide to change your career from a banking career to an IT career, let's say. So you train yourself and you become an IT engineer, you go and join an IT company. Now you'll all agree that the behavior of a banker is different from a behavior of an IT person. When I say behavior, means the profession generates a certain type of a behavior in all of us overall, because we are spending so much amount of time at the workplace. Naturally, that behavior becomes secondary. It becomes driving your primary behavior, right? So now what happens is suddenly you find yourself different, and then your home people start telling you, what is this? You don't give time for us on Saturday, Sunday. You're not available. Your friends are saying you're not even talking to us. You're not even replying to WhatsApp messages. Now, what has happened is when you change your status from a banker to an IT engineer, there was a change in your behavior, change in habits, change in your whole routine. It has affected your relationship with other people. That is exactly what we are talking about here. All the stakeholders with whom you are interacting every day, to put it in a generic terms, they get affected by the changes that you do to yourself. So make sure that that is also factored when you're evaluating the training. Right? Process of training evaluation. How do you go about doing it? Typically, organization stakeholders, groups include the training department, employees, the business units, the various departments, that is. Their information requirement falls into two categories. They want to know two major things. Whether the competencies have been learned. Has he learned the skills, competencies, capabilities? Number two, whether the learning has been applied towards improved performance. The second is the most important. Second will happen only when the first has taken place successfully.